Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this Christmas Eve morning is the publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Amy Newmark. Amy and I will be discussing their latest holiday edition, Miraculous Messages from Heaven. The book shares 101 stories of eternal love, powerful connections, and divine signs from beyond. Good morning, Amy. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, and happy Christmas Eve and Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Great to have you on the air. It is a pleasure to have you on this morning, and I presume the turkey and the ham are all in the oven and we're good to go.
Oh, this year I'm cooking with Chicken Soup for the Soul food products, so it's going to be very easy.
That's wonderful. Miraculous Messages from Heaven is a perfect book for the holiday season. I read the book. I enjoyed the stories. They are wonderful conversation to have at the dinner table, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Before we get started in the book, I do want to know this, though. How did Chicken Soup celebrate Christmas this year?
Well, we worked right up till today. We all tend to work. It's funny. People will come into our office and apologize because they'll say, well, I took Saturday off because it was my birthday, which is really funny. We have a whole company filled with people who basically feel like they should work 7 days a week because they love their job so much. It's real teamwork. So we all worked a lot, but we did get to do some Christmas things. We did a Secret Santa this year, so we had a party and gave each other gifts with a $20 limit, so that made everybody very creative, and that was really fun. And we continued our charity giving. Chicken Soup for the Soul does a lot of charitable giving. We use proceeds from all of our books and all of our other products to fund anti-poverty programs, literacy programs, food programs, conservation programs. We do a lot of charitable giving. Chicken Soup for the Soul, throughout its 20-year history, has always been very involved in supporting nonprofits. So we continue to do that this holiday season. And now we're looking forward to the new year and a whole new slate of books and other products.
Fantastic. One of the things you mentioned just now was the fact that this year you guys added the food line. So did you guys do a lot of charitable activities with the food line itself?
We did. We actually did a really fun thing at Thanksgiving. There's a food basket program in the New York area. I think that really started with Tony Robbins, who started a Thanksgiving food basket program probably a couple of decades ago. And so we put our food into those baskets, including our really great turkey gravy. And so that was fun, that for the first time we could participate in charitable giving using all of our new comfort foods.
Wonderful. That's fascinating. Why did Chicken Soup decide to publish Miraculous Messages from Heaven?
We had huge demand for a follow-on to a book we put out in 2012, which was just plain called Messages from Heaven. And after we put that book out, which was a huge bestseller for us, people started telling me all their stories. You know, they would read that book and say, oh, I should have had my story in your book. And then they would tell me their awesome story. And I said, well, I guess we're going to make another book, because people have so many incredible stories about these amazing, you could call them coincidences, or you could call them messages from heaven, signs from beyond. But I kept hearing these stories that gave me chills. So we decided we would make a follow-on called Miraculous Messages from Heaven. And so we, again, had thousands of submissions for this. And that was great, because we had, you know, the pick of the best stories, and so we narrowed it down to 101 really awesome stories.
That's fascinating. Over the years, you guys have had tremendous amount of success with the various stories that contributors sent to you. some of the stories are just really over the top, and I know they're sincere, they come from the heart. But at the same time, I'm sure as readers, we sometimes question whether these guys, whether they just sort of like created out of their own imagination, or is it something that you guys have a process in-house to verify that these are two stories pretty much?
We really pay attention to the reality of the stories. I mean, I like to say that we've brought the real back to reality because, you know, there's so much so-called reality entertainment out there now, and so much of it is actually staged or scripted.
Yeah.
And we make it very clear to people, we only publish nonfiction. We do not publish creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gotten very good at being able to tell when somebody doesn't understand and they think that this is just a creative writing project.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of fact-checking. We interrogate contributors sometimes. And sometimes we find a fact that doesn't check out. They say a certain thing happened on Christmas and it was Tuesday that year, and we know that Christmas was on a Thursday that year because we check these things, and then we call up the contributor and she says, oh my gosh, you're so right. I forgot my son was 16 when that happened, not 14, and we helped them actually fact check their own story and get it into better shape. And then there are occasionally, and it's really, really occasional, somebody who just makes up a story because they want to get published. And we can tell. I'm not going to tell you how we know, but there are tells.
Yeah,
just like there are tells in poker, there are tells.
Yeah.
And we'll call that person and say, you know, this looks like creative writing. Like, you couldn't have been standing in the shade of a palm tree when the story occurred in Philadelphia. And they'll say, yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I made it up. So we're good. Now, you look at stories in this kind of book where the stories are about, you know, signs from heaven. And, of course, you could say that none of the stories were true. What we care about is, did this happen to this person? Even if somebody would say, oh, there's a scientific explanation for that, but you have attributed it to divine intervention. As long as it happened to you, your interpretation of the story is up to you. I think that most of the stories in this book will give you chills, and you actually won't be able to think of a scientific explanation for how these events occurred.
Right.
So it's a great question, though, especially when you have 101 stories like these, the kinds of stories that don't happen to people every day and that do give you chills.
Right. And then there's some people that you know that have sort of a similar story, so to speak, but at the same time, you just wanted to make sure that, like you say, you guys are able to make sure that these stories are correct, because they're obviously incredible and they're very touching, they're very moving, and they will connect with people that read these stories.
They will, and we find that people come to us and say that these books have helped them so much with their grieving process. We have a book called Chicken Soup for the Soul, Grieving and Recovery, which we consider to be our official grieving book. You know, that's the book that should be handed to somebody when they've had a loss. But we're finding that people derive just as much comfort from messages from heaven, miraculous messages from heaven, our Angels Among Us book, because these books give them hope and help them with their belief that they can still have a connection with their loved one who has passed on, that it's not just over. So the feedback that we get from people is that these stories are incredibly comforting to them. These stories help them get on with their lives, because even if they haven't received a sign yet from the loved one who they're grieving for, when they read that other people have, it makes them feel, okay, it's my loved one is okay wherever he or she is, and I can believe that I have a continued connection, and this person is still part of my life, but just in a very different way. So it's really wonderful to put these books together and realize how much we are helping people with them.
Mm-hmm. And I would think also in reading the book, especially in this particular book, that it would remind you, sometimes we forget the obvious that's right in front of us. like signs that we're looking so hard for a specific thing. And then when I read the book, there are stories in there that says there are other kinds of signs that you need to look for, or just being present and being observant, I guess, in some ways.
Yeah, one of our co-authors, Leanne Tiemann, who did A Book of Miracles for us and answered prayers, she says, mm-hmm. you just have to open your eyes to see the miracles around you.
Right.
And so I think that is the case, that sometimes people decide they're looking for a sign and then they see one within the next few weeks. And it is because they kept their eyes open. Mm-hmm. And otherwise they might have missed it. And that's one of the things that we hope people will derive from this book, is to open your eyes to the possibilities.
Very interesting. So have you personally experienced any situation that kind of fairly similar to the ones expressed in the book?
I have not. I mean, I had one little one, but I really mm-hmm. don't think it was a message from heaven, because it wasn't mm-hmm. very nice. I mean, yes, I've lost grandparents, but it was always at an appropriate time, like they were in their 90s, you know, so
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
I didn't need a message from heaven. It was a more appropriately timed death, and not a wrenching death, you
right,
know. But my
right.
aunt did die younger, and the weird thing was, a few hours after she died, my hairdryer burst into flames. But that wouldn't be a very nice message from heaven, would it? So I think that was just a bizarre coincidence on a very bad
yeah.
day, because I'd never had my hairdryer burst into flames before. But I think the reason that I haven't had one of these experiences is I have not lost a parent. I'm
mm-hmm.
very lucky. I'm 56 and both my parents are alive.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't lost a spouse. I haven't lost a child. I haven't
yeah.
lost somebody in a horribly grievous way, you know, that I shouldn't have
yeah.
lost.
Yeah.
And I think
mm-hmm.
that most of the people who report on their experiences in this book had a more abrupt or inappropriate loss, you know, at a surprising time, too early, too horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they really needed that message from beyond, and I haven't
right.
needed one of those. So for me, you know, I guess it could happen to me someday, but I'm not in that same position yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was great reading the stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my favorite part about putting these books together is reading the stories. I'm just as entertained by reading
yeah.
them as our readers will be by reading them, and also they prepare me for the future. I mean, if I do have one of those really wrenching losses, I'll think back to all the hope and the comfort and the inspiration in this book. And I find that happens to me all the time when we're making Chicken Soup for the Soul books. I'll make a book that doesn't seem
mm-hmm.
directly relevant to me at the time that I'm making the
mm-hmm.
book, and then it will become directly relevant to me in a short time. That happened with our Family Caregivers book.
Mm-hmm.
I made that book. Both of my parents were doing great. I wasn't in a family caregiving situation. And then by the time the book came out, I had my father in heart surgery. My mother had a stroke. I mean, all of a sudden, everything was happening just as described in that book. And I was completely prepared for it because I had worked so hard on that book and I had read thousands of stories that were submitted for it.
Yeah, yeah. So you were basically prepared as you go
yes.
through the situations in life. So that's interesting. But the other thing I would say, and I say this respectfully, you may not realize it, but you have been moved. The years that I've known you now, it's been about close to a year and a half, and I have to say, in the course of talking with you over the months, that is, your passion about helping people, your passion about putting the really wonderful stories of other people and helping other people, to me, you have been divinely moved in that sense. We all are in business to make money, but I honestly believe you are moved by the end product, the end result, that is to touch people in a positive way. So to me, that in itself is a miraculous message that's been sent to you every day without you knowing it.
I think that you're right. I think we all feel that way here.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in our publishing group within Chicken Soup for the Soul, we all feel that we have a mission
yeah.
and that we really are doing good. And I was thinking about it actually just yesterday, because I did not buy one of those tickets that came out last week, but there were those two winners of the Mega Millions.
And
I thought, what would I have done if I bought a ticket and I had won? And I thought, I would have gone to work the next day.
Yeah,
it wouldn't even have occurred to me not to go to work. I would have continued doing exactly what I'm doing because I am not doing it to get the paycheck. I'm doing it because I can do this amazing thing. I can put these books out. I have this incredible tool that I can use, which is Chicken Soup for the Soul books. It's a wonderful tool for changing people's lives.
Yeah.
And so it's a fabulous job, just like your radio job where you can change people's lives. We're very lucky that we have jobs like this where we can touch people.
Yeah, and it's passion-driven. It's a wonderful feeling. I don't know how else to describe it. So that's why I wanted to say that respectfully for you, because we've never met in person, but just getting to know you over the months and talking with you on the air as well as off the air, but it's just an incredible energy that I sense from you.
Well, thank you.
I
think it's mutual.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I have selected several stories from the book as talking points for this morning. Can you please give us a short run of these stories and their contributors?
Sure. I know the first one that you picked is story number one in the book. And story number one in our books is always a place of honor. It's always a story that I have personally really, really loved. And this story came from one of those people who read Messages from Heaven and then said, well, I have a story. And it's Laura Robinson, who has actually co-authored a couple of our books. She's in Canada. She wrote our hockey book for us. And she told me a story after Messages from Heaven came out, and I said to her, you've got to give me that story if we do another book on this topic. So her story is called Our Roots Are Forever, and this is about how her mom died, and she took her mom's death a lot harder than she had taken her father's death 5 years before. Mm-hmm. I think because you always bring to your experiences the same emotions you felt the first time. So she took all of the feelings of loss from her father's death and brought those along to experiencing her mother's death, so she really felt it, you know, twice as hard. Mm-hmm. And she had been looking and looking for a sign from her mom for months. Her mom had died in December, and it was now May, and she still hadn't seen any sign. Her mom had been this really crazy, energetic woman. She was an identical triplet, and she was born back in the 1920s, so that, you know, there were no fertility drugs then, so she was a naturally occurring, identical triplet, loved show business. She was really a funny woman, and one of the things that Laura remembered most fondly about her was that they loved to watch movies together, including W.C. Fields and other silly movies like that. And there was a W.C. Fields movie where W.C. Fields is smoking his cigar and sitting in the back of a car that's being shot at by gangsters, and W.C. Fields, you know, pulls out his cigar and calmly looks around and says, ah, look at the beautiful catalpa trees. So for some reason in Laura's family, that became like a family joke. And family members would just randomly say, ah, look at the beautiful catalpa trees. So anyway, now it's May, and Laura and her husband decide to have a garage sale. And an old man shows up at the garage sale, you know, one of those early birds who just likes to shop at garage sales. And he, like, hangs around and is talking and talking and talking because he's a lonely old man. And Laura finally had to, you know, go away from him to work on putting prices on things. And all of a sudden she heard this old man say, oh, look at the beautiful catalpa tree. And she just couldn't believe her ears. And she said to him, what did you say? And he said, look at that catalpa tree. She said, what are you talking about? And he said, right there. And he pointed to a huge tree right in the middle of Laura's own front yard. Mm-hmm. And then he said to her that he was a tree expert, and that catalpa trees were really rare in Canada, and he had never seen one in Toronto before. But Laura had no idea that she had a catalpa tree all those years. No one in her family knew it, as they kept, you know, telling their family joke, look at the catalpa trees.
Yeah.
And she said now she had her sign from her mom. So I just loved that story because it was so many different coincidences, and it was just really interesting. So I'm happy you picked that story to talk about.
It's a wonderful story. I mean, it certainly touched me in a very personal way. One of the things that she talked about in the book was about a bird appearing on the day of her father's funeral. And those are the kind of things that sometimes we don't know what we're looking for, and it's there, and the first instinct that comes to mind, it just generates that sort of a spiritual contact. And then in my situation, I've shared with you off the air, my mom passed away earlier this year in March, and when I was back home in Malaysia for her funeral, there was one night that I was sitting downstairs. I saw a beautiful white moth out of nowhere that just came and was just flying very elegantly around and then flew into her room and landed on her favorite chair and then flew towards her bed, and then I lost track of the moth. The next morning I asked my sister, I said, hey, I got to tell you this. And she was excited about it too. And then she told me, what's surprising about it is that she told me, she says, Johnny, the day that you were flying into Malaysia, as you know, Mom was in intensive care, that morning, all morning long when we were preparing the house, I saw this moth as well. And this moth, we both described it as the same moth, and this white moth was flying with her into the kitchen, into the bathroom, and so forth. It was just so elegant. And the first thing that came to mind was our mom's spirit. It was just quite interesting. So it's a unique experience, very unique experience.
Yeah, and Laura, the bird that she saw that she believed was a sign from her father, the bird was a robin.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura's last name is Robinson, mm-hmm. child of Robin. And she says she's seen that robin repeatedly. The robin is always showing up now, and she always says, hi, Dad, when she sees the robin.
I'm so glad you started out with that story. It just drew me in from then on.
So the next story that you liked, and I love mm-hmm. this one too,
mm-hmm.
this one I could just really empathize with, because I thought, gee, I could have done this exact same thing. This woman lost her husband, and it was a shock to her, but she was trying to get on with her life. She was dating, and she had made some new friends, and she had joined Toastmasters so that she was doing public speaking. And she had even won an award from her Toastmasters club for being the most inspirational speaker. But she knew that she was a fraud. And why was she a fraud? Because she hadn't entered the master bedroom in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since her husband died, she really hadn't gotten on with her life at all. She had moved into a little bedroom off the kitchen. So finally, after 3 years, she was determined to move back into the bedroom because she really did feel like a fraud. And so one day, she just marched down the hall, threw open the door, started dusting the furniture, changed the bed sheets, moved her clothes back into the closet in the master bedroom, was praying to God for strength, and she asked for a sign that she was doing the right thing. So she was cleaning up the master bedroom, and she went into the bathroom, and she was throwing out all the old pills in her medicine cabinet because 3 years had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she opened a small container, luckily. She didn't just toss it. She opened the container, and inside this container of old medicine was her Mikimoto pearl ring. And that ring had been missing since before her husband had died. And she had searched everywhere for this ring. And her husband had actually taken the ring from her. He was a jewelry maker, and he was a perfectionist mm-hmm. about things. And she had lost a pearl from this ring. He had taken the ring from her, but then he had gone to the hospital. And so he never got to find a new pearl to replace the missing one in her ring. And she never knew where the damaged ring was,
mm-hmm.
and she had been searching for it, and other people had helped her search, and now she found the ring in the bathroom, in the medicine container, but the pearl was back in the ring. The ring was fixed, and she had no idea how that ever happened, but she felt that that was a sign from her husband and that she could now finally truly move on with her life.
It's a beautiful story again. I think sometimes we go through this process and we grieve differently. And obviously she was really connected with her husband. And so it's very difficult. It's easy to motivate others. she is an inspirational speaker, but then when it comes to ourselves, it's so difficult. We need somebody else to motivate us. And the story really is just wonderful from that perspective.
Yeah, I loved that story. Of course, I loved every story in this book. Now, the next one that you identified, I thought was really good because sometimes when someone dies,
yeah,
we need the comfort of knowing that it was the right time for the person. I know I felt that way when my father-in-law died earlier this year. He was 91. He was miserable. He was in pain. He was half paralyzed. He was stuck in a wheelchair, and he really wanted to go, really and truly wanted to go, and that was such a comfort for all of us, knowing that he didn't want to live anymore. He was finished. He was comfortable with going. And so that's what this next story is about. This woman had a grandfather who she was very close to, and he lived a good life for a long time. But then when he was quite elderly, he had some medical problems, and he was sent to the hospital, and then he went to a nursing home. And he was in the nursing home. His body was tiny. He was, like, slumped in a wheelchair, barely sitting upright. And this woman, Michelle, went to talk to her grandfather and wheeled him into the, you know, the TV room where he could sit with the other old people and watch TV. And he said, "I don't want to watch TV. I'm getting too old for this. I don't want to be here at all." And she said, "No, Grandpa, it's fine. Like, you know, sit here. You'll like it." That night, this woman woke up at 3 in the morning and saw her grandfather sitting next to her bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I'm leaving." And she understood what he meant. And she said, "No, I don't want you to die." And he said, "No, it's time. Life's too hard. I can't do this anymore." And she said, "Please." And he said, "No, I'm tired. It's what I want." And then she knew, well, that was the way it was supposed to be. She just went back to sleep. And in the morning, the phone rang, and it was her mother saying that her grandfather had died during the night. And she says, "Of course, I knew I was going to get that phone call." She says, "While I was sad, I knew in my heart it was okay. Grandpa and I had discussed everything in the early morning hours when he came to me to say goodbye."
Yeah, yeah. That story reminded me years ago about when I was having some problems, some issues and so forth. And at that time, I wasn't a Christian, not that I was a bad person or anything, because I grew up as a Buddhist. But I've always been very spiritual, and I've always prayed and so forth. And I've always gone to church on special occasions, on Easter sunrise, midnight mass, ironically. So I've always been very spiritual. I followed the path of my mom and my dad in so many ways. And there was one time I remember vividly going through a situation in my life. And I prayed that night, and in the middle of the night, it was shocking for me, but I got up in the middle of the night, and I actually saw, and I say this from the standpoint, this is me, I literally saw an aberration of Jesus standing at the side of my bed to kind of give me the idea, like, you know, it's okay, that things will work out. And of course, years later, I attended a Catholic church and then became a Christian about 5 years ago.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying when I read all these stories, you just connect it at a certain level. And I do want to tell people this as well, that the book is beautifully divided into 10 different sections. And the one that we just covered is actually in the section called Saying Goodbye. And the first two that we addressed was from the Answered Prayers section.
That's true, because so many people prayed for the sign, and then they got the sign, and so we thought it was very important to point out that they got their sign because of their answered prayers. And then we wanted to talk about the people who reported that they got to say goodbye to the person on the person's way out. So, yes, that was what that story was about, was saying goodbye on the way out, which is extremely comforting to people.
Right, right. And the next one is equally comforting. The title of the article is Final Connection by Joanne Frazier.
Yeah, so she talked about the fact that she was always really close to her mom, but then her mom got Alzheimer's and didn't even know who she was. And so it was really sad And her mom actually had lived on her side of Canada. This was another Canadian for a long time, but most of the kids were back in the east, and so her mom moved to the eastern side of Canada. And this woman hardly got to see her mom. But anyway, then her mom was dying, and her brother called to tell her that their mom had taken a bad fall and might not make it. And then her brother called to tell her, "Mom's so much better. She knows everybody's name all of a sudden, and she even asked for you by name." Well, this woman was smart enough to know what that meant. She knew that that last burst of lucidity usually occurred before the death. And the very next day, her mom fell into a coma. And that night, Johanna felt her mom come to her in her dreams and talk to her. And Johanna woke up and said, "Mom is gone." She just knew it. She felt her mom there, and then all of a sudden, she felt her mom's spirit move through her, and then it was gone. And 10 minutes later, the phone rang, and it was her sister-in-law telling her that her mom had passed away at the exact same time that Johanna had felt her mom connect with her and then move on. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. I mean, you hear that all the time about people with Alzheimer's having that moment of lucidity right at the end. They come back.
Yeah.
They come out of the Alzheimer's or out of whatever dementia they have to say goodbye, to make that final connection, and then they move on. And that's extremely comforting for people. Also, though, as Johanna said, the moment it happened, the moment her mom came out and was lucid and knew what was going on, she kind of knew that was going to be the end. She knew what it meant.
It's a beautiful story. A beautiful story. That, to me, will help a lot of those individuals that do have loved ones that are suffering from Alzheimer's.
Yeah, because they do it. Yes, because you have hope that way that your parent will come out of it at the end and know you for a little time, and it's worth hanging in there.
Yeah.
It is definitely worth hanging in there because it's such a tragedy. You really lose your parent 1 year at a time when they're dying from Alzheimer's.
Right. The next one is very interesting, "Love That Doesn't Die, Conversations with My Dad" by Jackson Jarvis.
So this is an example of another story that I got from somebody I know, because this is the son of our vice president of marketing. And our vice president of marketing lost her husband in a car accident when her son Jackson was only 2.5. And so Jackson is now 14. He wrote this story a few months ago when he was 13. And he talks about the fact that he was 2.5 years old when his father died. He didn't really understand. He thought maybe his father was just on a long business trip. But he was having a bath in his mother's bathtub about a week after his father died. And his mom heard him talking to someone. And she came over and asked him who he was speaking to, and Jackson told his mom that he had been talking to his dad, and his dad had come to him and had said that his dad's friend Kirk, who was also a neighbor of theirs about a mile down the road, was going to come by and take Jackson horseback riding. Now, Jackson didn't know Kirk. He was vaguely familiar with him, maybe had met him once in his life. Kirk was, you know, a mile away neighbor and was also his dad's boss. He didn't know that Kirk had horses. He didn't really know anything about Kirk. But he told his mom that dad had said that Kirk was going to take him horseback riding. And his mom just thought, well, you know, he's a 2.5-year-old with an imagination. A few weeks later, things had quieted down in their house. You know, all of the visitors had stopped coming by with the casseroles and all of that. And it was a quiet day for them, and there was a knock on the door, and there in front of the house was his dad's friend Kirk holding the reins of a big, beautiful, dark brown horse. And Kirk said he really didn't understand why, but somehow he had heard Eric's voice. Eric was Jackson's dad, and Eric had said to him, "You have to go and take Jackson horseback riding." And Jackson reports that over time he stopped hearing his dad talk to him the way that he did when he was little. But Jackson says, just knowing that it happened changed me. It makes me believe that the people we love are never really gone.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as we get older, our lives get so busy and noisy that we can't hear them, but I know my dad is there. And so this has given Jackson comfort for all of these years since his dad died, that somehow his dad is looking out for him and is always there in the backdrop of his life.
It's a wonderful story. When I read that, it reminded me of my dad, because I came to the United States when I was 18, and my dad died a year later. Well, when growing up, my mom basically ran the house. My dad was the breadwinner of the family, and you know, it's like I'm a mama's boy, and then my sister is daddy's little girl. So we really didn't connect as much. I would say we don't spend that much time. But around when I was 15, 16, that's when we started talking a little bit more and so forth. And when he died, when I was 18, and I'm in the United States, I didn't actually know about his death till 3 months later, when my mom sent me a letter telling me what happened. And she didn't want me to go home for his funeral and so forth, knowing that it was just ridiculous for me to fly home and fly back. It's not money well spent, so to speak. And I did not actually go home till 15 years later. During that 15 years, whenever I dream about my dad and in the dream having conversations, to me, he was always alive. It was quite a unique experience. I never dreamt about him passing and so forth. It wasn't until 15 years later when I went home and my mom and I went to his grave. And then I stopped the dream, basically, afterwards.
So was he advising you and supporting you in all of those dreams you had about him during those 15 years?
Yes, in a way, because just the comforting, you know, he would be smiling because I was so afraid that I was disappointing him. Because a child, you know, like if you don't make certain decisions correct or something like that, and you're thinking that your parents still, I told you so, or this or that. But whenever he appears in my dreams, it's like, it's just very, that warm, comforting feeling. It was never, nothing afraid. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, I was afraid of him.
That's very interesting that your relationship with him changed once
he was
gone, and he actually became a more supportive parent for you.
Yeah, I mean, mom is the one that you can cuddle up with and all that. I remember even my dog was walking around him at home.
That's very funny.
Yeah, it's
but
like, you know,
nice.
A little respect,
but,
you see?
Well, I always say to my kids, like, if I ever died, like, I'm still there. I'm still in you at all times. Yeah, I'm still advising you, and all you have to do is think about what would mom say. And it's interesting that you actually had an even better relationship with him and derived more benefit from him during those 15 years that you were dreaming he was alive.
Yeah,
that's
it was
very
never,
interesting.
It was just very comforting whenever I see him, you see. It was good. And then, of course, when I went home, and then, of course, then it was a nice, wonderful closure, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Nice,
that's
wonderful
great.
Closure. So, and the next one, Heaven Sent. It's a wonderful story, The Voice, by Sally Kelly Eggman.
Yeah, so this is a story that is a message from heaven, but it's not from somebody who had passed on, because we thought we should have a few of those stories in this book also. And in this case, this bizarre occurrence could have saved somebody's life. What happened was that Sally, who lives in Colorado, went to the mall one day to go shopping. It was a beautiful, clear day. And her husband decided that he would clean the leaves from the roof gutters and check the chimney bricks while she was out doing her errands at the mall. She got to the mall, and after a little while, she heard a male voice say, "Sally, go home." She looked around, but there was no man near her. So she shrugged it off and continued shopping, and then she heard the voice again, "Sally, go home." she still shrugged it off, and she thought, maybe somebody's trying to scam me. Maybe somebody wants to rob me. Then she heard the voice again, Sally, go home. So she hurried back to her car, but she was still worried that someone was stalking her. She, like, looked around as she got into the car. She was very concerned about being in that parking garage. She shoved the packages into the car, scooted inside, locked the door. You know, then she started checking her rearview mirror to make sure that nobody was following her. Anyway, as she drove home, it got really cloudy and windy, and the weather started to change dramatically because she was in the mountains of Colorado, so that happens. She worried. You know, she was kind of wondering about the message all the way home, like, why did I keep hearing this voice? As she turned the corner onto her street, she saw her husband clinging to the chimney, hanging off their roof. His ladder had fallen to the ground, and she rushed, you know, she rushed out of her car, and her husband said, thank God you're back, and she picked up the ladder, leaned it against the house, and steadied it while her husband climbed down. But she would never have gotten home in time to save her husband if she hadn't heard that voice.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wonderful story, and these are the things sometimes, again, we come back to the situation that what signs are we looking for? If we are open, and you never know, because the answer is all around you in some ways.
She eventually listened to that voice, and it was good mm-hmm. that she did. Now, you might say the voice didn't come from heaven. It came from ESP, from her husband, that he was sending
right,
her
right.
his cries for help. And that is fine, too. That would be an awesome story. However, however she got this male voice telling her to go home, I thought it was really a story worth sharing with our readers because mm-hmm. by listening to the voice, wherever it came from, she saved her husband. And that's
right.
one of the lessons from this book is listen to that inner voice
mm-hmm.
because sometimes mm-hmm. that inner voice is really going to help you.
Right, right. It's a beautiful story. The next one is Heavenly Comfort, Everlasting Life by Laurie Phillips.
Yeah, so she had, you know, a horrible situation that nobody ever wants to have. She lost her child, and she said that when her son died, she wanted to die too. And she just kept praying that she would die until she heard her deceased father's voice. And he said, don't be sad, and then she saw him standing there holding her little boy's hand. But she continued to have, you know, a terrible time.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she was sitting in a chair crying, and she smelled this awful burning smell, like something in her house was burning. You know, not in the kitchen, but like the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she heard a voice saying, live or die, the choice is yours. Because there was this fire. She could have just let the fire consume her home and herself. And the voice went on and said, know this, Alex, that's her son, is safe and happy. He's with your, and he will be there waiting for your other children who are still on earth with you. But if you go, you will not be able to help your other children. So that was a turning point for her. She jumped out of her chair and walked into her garage and got a clean rag, bunched it up, returned to the flames, and rubbed out the fire at its base. How she knew how to do that, she didn't know. I mean, I wouldn't know how to handle a fire.
Yeah.
I would have just, like, been in a panic and then called 911. She says the same thing. She doesn't know how she knew how to rub out, you know, what was some kind of chemical fire. And so she chose to live to take care of her surviving children. And she just feels that voice was something that, you know, came to her from heaven. It was a source of heavenly comfort that allowed her to get on with her life and do the right thing for her family.
It's a wonderful story. Again, it's one of those things where sometimes you just have to follow that intuition. And again, some people may say it's intuition. Some people may say that, yes, you are moved by divine spirits and so forth. But I think in the end, it's the action, the result of the action that makes the difference. And the book is filled with it. I mean, we have so many other categories that we can talk about, but I do want to address one of the things that I think, which is quite interesting, is which I had mentioned about dreaming about my dad and so forth, there's a section in the book for dreams and premonitions. There's a wonderful story about a comforting vision by Rachel Strickland.
I'm looking for that story. Oh, yes, a comforting vision. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that story, that was really amazing. Rachel says that the phone woke her up at 7, and it was her mother calling to say that her grandfather was missing. And her grandfather had left his house to go and put gas in his car, and he had never returned from the previous evening. And her grandfather did have dementia. Well, as Rachel was thinking about it, all of a sudden she remembered a dream she had had the night before. And you know how that happens. You just don't remember your dreams, and then all of a sudden one of them comes back to you. And she had seen her grandfather in a dream, and he was sitting in the middle of a big empty room wearing his cowboy hat, and there was a woman walking beside her in this dream, and her grandfather turned and looked at this woman and smiled. So Rachel told this to her mother. She didn't really know what it meant, and her mother said, "That was Mary." And Rachel said, "Mary? Mary?" And her mother said, "Yeah, that's his wife, Mary." And a day later, they found the grandfather. His truck was pulled off to the side of the road, and they found him. And it turned out that they found him, and the night that he had gone missing, he had died, and his death was between 2 and 2:30. Mm-hmm. And Rachel had had this vision of her grandfather smiling and seeing his wife, who had died 20 years before. And she had woke when she had looked at the clock after having this dream or premonition. It was 2:17 a.m. So it was right during the window of time when they said her grandfather died. And her whole family was comforted by that, because they all felt that her grandfather had passed on to be reconnected with his wife and that he was happy.
These are the things that we don't expect sometimes in our daily lives. We take life and we take a lot of things sometimes for granted. We just don't pay attention to them. And I think if we do pay attention to it, we'll be surprised on the things that we will learn.
That's true.
What are some of your favorite stories in the book?
I love all of these stories, but there are a couple that really struck me. One of them was this woman, Leslie Gulvis. She had an aunt who she really loved, Aunt Patty, and Aunt Patty had died at a railroad crossing when a train hit her car, and the family was devastated and always wondered if she had suffered, you know, what was it like for her. They really worried about what kind of pain and agony she might have been in at the end. And years later, Leslie was sitting in a park one day, you know, sitting on a bench, and a woman jogged by and then stopped and came back to speak to her. And the jogger said to Leslie that she had no idea why, but a woman named Patty had come to her in her head and was insisting that she tell Leslie, quote, she didn't know what hit her. And this was a messenger basically telling Leslie that her Aunt Patty had not suffered, and Patty was reporting to her that, you know, she didn't know what hit her. It was really fast. And so Patty was able to report, Leslie was able to report to the rest of the family that Aunt Patty had not suffered in her final moments. And I thought that was a really good story. And we had other stories like that where just a stranger feels compelled to go and give somebody a message or hand somebody $20 without knowing why. And then it turned out there was a reason, and somebody had come to that stranger and told them to do that, and they didn't even know why they were compelled to do that. So I loved that story. And there's another category of story that we had, which is people getting advice from a loved one who had passed on, often life-saving advice. So another story that I wanted to mention to you is the one by Andrea Peebles called Prophetic Advice from My Father, she had the same dream at least a dozen times over a three-week period. She kept dreaming about being in her car and having a head-on collision with an 18-wheeler truck. And she remembered that her father, before he was killed in a car accident, had always given her the advice that if you see that you are about to have an accident, just drive off the road, get away from it, get as far away from it as possible. Well, a few weeks after she had this repetitive dream about the head-on collision with the 18-wheeler, she was driving her car up a hill, and then she realized, I can't see if anybody's coming from the other direction because I'm going up to the top of a hill, and if somebody were coming from the other direction, I would have to get off the road. And just then, a truck came up atop of the hill. It was passing another truck on the wrong side of the road, coming up the hill, really stupid. It was barreling towards Andrea in her lane. She veered right off the road, got out of the way of the truck just in time. She said she would never have done that if that recurring dream hadn't made her remember her father's advice.
Right. And this is part of the things that, if, like say, we pay attention to what it's in front of us in terms of like this little signs, and this section you're talking about, dreams and premonitions, is just very, very powerful. And then, of course, the other one that you touch with the story, answering the question in Miraculous Messengers, that's important because sometimes we take it for granted when we run into strangers and a stranger may say something offbeat and we just don't really pay attention to it. But if you do, and it's almost like crossing the T's, is that right? You know, like marking all the dots or something.
Right, crossing just, your T's and dotting your I's, that's right.
Your I's, okay, right. There you go. And you find that the answers are there. And many a times you'll be surprised on like, wait a minute, how in the world that this person knows all this stuff? And that's when, to me, that's that organic, authentic message that you need to pay attention to.
Yeah, and many of the people who write these stories say they would never believe this kind of thing could happen if it hadn't happened to them, which really is a lesson that you need to keep an open mind about these things.
Right. Wonderful. Well, what can we expect from Chicken Soup in 2014?
Well, we have a wonderful slate of new books coming out for you. The first one coming out in 2014 will come out in early February. It's called Miracles Happen. So a nice corollary to our Miraculous Messages from Heaven book. Miracles Happen will be a lot of fun for us to talk about. It'll be a lot of fun for readers. Then we have a great book coming out in March for all of our mothers on Mother's Day. It's called The Multitasking Mom's Survival Guide. we have a bunch of other great books coming out over the course of 2014. We keep coming up with terrific new topics. Some are very inspirational, some are just plain entertaining. So we're looking forward to a very varied year with a lot of great new topics. We also will be continuing to roll out our comfort food line, which is now available in about half the states in the country. And
fantastic.
We'll be rolling out, you know, nationwide throughout 2014. And the foods are wonderful. They've changed my life because they make it so much easier for me to put a good dinner on the table quickly. We're also going to be continuing to work on our daily talk show and our movie. And so we'll be able to announce more about those in 2014, including who will be in, you know, who will be our hosts on the talk show, who will be our actors in the movie. Oh, and we're redesigning our pet food, and our relaunched pet food packaging will be out in early 2014. So it's going to be a jam-packed year. We're very excited about it. Oh, and one more thing. We have a brand new line of apps to run on Apple devices. You can get it in the iTunes store. And the first app is about angels. And your relationship with angels and how angels are all around you. And so that should be a really fun product for people also.
That sounds wonderful. These are the things that are coming up in 2014. So you guys pretty much have the whole year already planned out and packed full of wonderful events.
Yeah, but I bet more will happen because that's how it always is.
Any last thoughts about miraculous messages from heaven?
Yeah, we actually put together a list of five tips. Mm-hmm. Five tips for ways that you can find your own miraculous signs from beyond. And tip number one is don't be afraid to ask for a sign, because many of our story writers did just that, and that's how they got their sign. Another tip is make sure to listen to your inner voice, just like Sally did when she listened to her inner voice and went home and saved her husband from falling off the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Another tip is accept the impossible, because sometimes something seems impossible and you should say, well, it actually did happen. I'm going to have to accept that it happened, and now why did it happen? Another tip is to pay attention to your dreams, and those dreams can be a source of life-saving tips, like Andrea Peebles had when she learned to drive off the road when that
mm-hmm.
truck was coming straight at her. And also you can pay attention to your dreams just to derive comfort or an ongoing relationship with a loved one the way you did with your father.
Mm-hmm.
And then our fifth tip and our last tip from this book is to listen to your loved ones. When they come to you, accept their advice, because it's really good advice.
Yeah.
And so accept those dreams or those premonitions, but accept the advice that you get in those, because it will help you to improve your life. So, the book is really full of wonderful ways that you can change your life.
Those are wonderful tips, and I'll be the first one to say, don't be afraid if you ever get into that zone, that experience, because it's very calming, it's very spiritual. That's all I believe I can explain, because it's a very difficult thing to say from that perspective. And, of course, we're coming close to the end of the show. Since it is about people, family, living life, what kind of recipe for living for the holiday season that you can share with us this morning?
I guess the most important thing I would say for the holiday season, especially to very mm-hmm. busy people who are listening, is that you shouldn't let it get you stressed. The reason that you are so busy and you are doing so much work and you have so many different things to do, places to be, people to see during the holiday season is because you have a really great life with lots of people who love you and who you love. So I always tell myself that when I'm, you know, on my feet, when I'm on my feet for 12 hours later today for Christmas Eve, it's because there are all these people who I love who are here, and I want to provide them with a wonderful evening, a wonderful dinner, the gifts, etc. So that's my biggest tip, is remember why you're so busy. It's for a good reason.
Wonderful. Amy, thank you again for the wonderful holiday recipe for living that you shared with us, and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. A very Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year to you as well, and your loved ones.
Thank you very much, and I wish the same to you.
Thank you. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me in 2 weeks on Tuesday morning, January 7th, to kick off 2014 with our show on A New Year, A New You. My guest will be the founder of Life Choice Psychology, Ken Linder. Ken is an author, life coach, and emotions expert. He'll be sharing tips and strategies on how to master your emotions and modify your behavior to achieve success with your New Year's resolution. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone. Bye-bye.